Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to this extended edition of the No Spoiler Reviews podcast, where I'm going to be interviewing Alejandro de Hoyos, self-made movie producer and feature film actor. Hey Alejandro, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm good. You've had quite a remarkable start to your journey in becoming an actor. How did it all kick off?
Well, I always wanted to be an actor. Ever since I was a little kid, I would go with my younger brother. We would go watch triple features in Ensenada, Mexico. That's where I'm from. And we would watch one movie after another. And that was great. So I always liked it. However, I never got involved into acting until my 30s. For me, it was more like I wanted to be a businessman also. And being an actor while I was growing up in Mexico wasn't necessarily the cool thing to say. If you said you wanted to be an actor or a singer or a performer, people would make fun of you, you know, kids, other kids. But if you said, look, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, I'm going to be a businessman, then they would be like, oh, wow, yeah. So, and I enjoyed it also. Yeah. So, I did that for many years. I'm still an entrepreneur. I still own a few companies. And but acting, I started in my 30s. And I started with commercials. It was kind of like a thing that was going to happen. I went to an audition with somebody, and they needed a guy. And then the casting director asked, "Do you know any guys?" And he said, "Well, this was my wife that was going for an audition. She wanted to be an actress at the time. She said my husband's in the waiting room." So she called me in. I didn't book it, but she liked my looks. She told me, study with these people. And I did. I got an agent, and I started booking like crazy.
Fantastic.
So I did. So far, I think I keep saying there's about 224 commercials that I've done over the years. Yeah.
So now, as I understand it, you've also started your own feature film company. So this has kind of like two implications, but it kind of comes back to the same question. What do you look for in a script, both as a producer and as an actor?
Well, as an actor, I can tell you what I'm looking for in the script that I currently wrote. I wrote a movie with my son. He's 25, college graduate, very smart. So we came together with this plot where we want to make the character, in this case, I'm the main character, Latino, I have a better position than as a Latino here in the United States, to be seen in a different way than your typical way. Nothing wrong with the parts that we always play, you know, but that we also want to be playing parts that we play in Mexico. I mean, I'm from Mexico. We're doctors, we're attorneys, we're, you know, firemen, we're cops, we're corrupt, we're not corrupt, you know. We have all those different things. And I look for something like that in the movies that I'm trying to produce. I love action because I'm a martial artist. I was about 12. I started training. And then I left it for a long time, but it still stayed with me. So I still have a gym at home, and I practice there, punching bag and machines. The movie that I produced had a lot of content, you know, emotional content and a little bit of political content without, you know, hitting you over the head with it. I like that because I love, don't get me wrong, I love action films that have a lot of kicking and shooting and all that stuff. But if it's just empty, gratuitous, you know, shooting and kicking, there's no point. And I see a lot of that. I like movies that have a meaning, and that's why you're fighting, whether it's with your words, whether it's with your fists or your weapons, you know. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it answers it very, very well. So as I understand it, you kind of started your movie career in 1994 with Clear and Present Danger, working with Harrison Ford. And you've recently just wrapped on The Man from Toronto with Woody Harrelson. In these projects and the projects in between, what have you learned from each of these movies?
Well, it's different lessons. I mean, when I shot my own film, El Contratista, even though I had done production in Mexico with live audiences and singers, I used to produce for José, Lupita D'Alessio, Sylvester, who was a disco star.
Yes.
Yeah. So I did live shows in Mexico City. So this, the new movie that I did, El Contratista, taught me how to do it in a different way, more from the movie perspective as opposed to the live audience. there's so much that you learn from the crew. We went to Mexico, so we learned that the crew in Ensenada, they were very good. So I learned that, yes, we have talent in Mexico as well to do all those things. We hire people from Mexico City, celebrities from Mexico City. And then you learn everything that you learn when it comes to producing a film, all the ups and downs. Now, when you go and do Men from Toronto in Canada, it's a complete different experience. I don't know what the budget is, but it's millions and millions of dollars. I mean, you have Kevin Hart and you have Woody Harrelson, Ellen Barkin, you know, very, very well-known people. You have a big writer, big director, producer. So, of course, it's a different environment. Mine was a small budget. This was a big, big Hollywood budget. I learned that the people were very humble, very helpful. Kevin, the first time I was on set, you know, he came and introduced himself. Hey, how you doing, bro? He shook hands, gave me a hug. And it's like, oh, good. That's nice. You know, same with Woody. My pleasure, you know. And the director, you know, as soon as I walked in, they're like, oh, here you are. You know, we love your audition. You know, I'm so glad that you're here, you know, because I played the villain. I can't say much, but I think it's safe to say that I play a villain. So here's like, yeah, we can't have a good movie without a good villain. So I'm glad you're here. So that was nice. Again, so many, you learn from every project that you do, big or small, it doesn't matter, always.
So what advice would you give to somebody who's looked at your trajectory, your career, and say, I want to follow in this guy's footsteps?
Well, I would say follow your own trajectory. I mean, yeah, you can emulate people, not just me, emulate people that have had some sort of success in the area that you want to accomplish. But what's interesting is that sometimes it's not necessarily the type of job that you do, because you could say, well, I'm not interested in movies. I like it that he has had some success. I like it that he's an entrepreneur. I like it that he creates his own projects and he creates his own, you know, life. That applies to anything. If you want to be the best teacher, you know, then you say, okay, what do I need to do to be the best teacher? What are the elements that these people have or had? Why did they become successful at what they're doing? And then you're going to find out that there are a lot of basic principles. I mean, it's like I tell my kids, guys, all the technology in the world is not going to help you get ahead in life if you don't follow basic principles that have been here in the world from the beginning of time. If you tell somebody, I'll be there, you better be there. You know, these are basic things. Self-discipline, you know, hard work. I have four boys, so I deal with the hard work situation, because now they believe that with the technology that we have, we don't have to do the hard work. You know, we have other people can do it, and you know, we can just control it electronically or even hire people overseas. And I'm like, no. You don't have a fighter, a boxer, get in the ring with Mike Tyson and say, well, you know, I'm just going to wing it. No, you need hard work. Mike Tyson just fought, and I'm sure you saw his training. You know, he trained really, really hard. So that's what I say. Hard work. Don't be afraid of hard work. You know, once you get the rewards, you say, yeah, I deserve it. I worked really hard on it. Yeah. And if you didn't succeed this time, you say, well, at least I tried, you know, the best I could. I'll keep trying. Let's see who gives up first.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. How have you found the shifting marketplace given this year and the pandemic and the increased emphasis of streaming over theatrical distribution? Because again, you're not just a film actor, you're also a movie producer.
We didn't audition for months and everything became self-tape. You know, Zoom or self-tape. I've had some interviews to producers for film or TV, and we're doing this through Zoom. You get used to it. You get used to it.
Yeah.
Yes. It was hard in the beginning, because when you go to the place, you're prepared, and then you go, and then you see them right there, and it's a different energy. When you're trying to convey something via Zoom with four or five producers on the other side, it's a lot more difficult. It's more like, okay, do your thing. Okay, you're done. Okay, thank you. I think that. And the self-tape has been very, very interesting because you do it at home, but sometimes it's a lot more work. Like, let's just say I'm running, I have my daily activities. I'm running my companies, this. And then I know I have an audition at 3 o'clock. So I know my lines. I drive, I go in, they have the camera, I have a reader, everything's prepared, the lights. And then I do it, 10, 15 minutes, I'm out. And then I do my other activities. When I have an audition now and you have to self-tape, I have a gym at home, so I built an area so I can self-tape. And I have to make sure the light is correct, get a tripod for my camera or for my Mac or whatever. So there's so many more elements, a screen behind you, things like that. And sometimes it takes you longer because sometimes you don't have anybody to read with. Fortunately, I have one of my sons helps me with my readings, but if he's asleep also, because they have different schedules than you, then that's what I'm saying. You have to get used to it. It's different. But I booked Men from Toronto via self-tape. I taped it with my son. I sent it in. They liked it. I had no idea the magnitude of this movie. I thought it was okay, just because you're... agents send you auditions, and some of them are, you know, little things. This was a monumental movie. You know, I get, I hear Kevin Hart and Patrick Hughes, the director. They just rapped, and they're talking about how hard this movie was, and how Patrick precisely today had something on Instagram thanking Canadians because it was an amazing experience. I mean, with the COVID restriction on the set, it was tough. Everybody's masked, and when you're ready to do your scene, you have to take it off and make sure that you know everything's in place. It's a different normal. It's a different world, but you do it. You know, yeah.
Indeed, The Matrix 4 just wrapped up the road here in Berlin, where they've had to deal with these kind of circumstances and yet find a way.
Yeah.
So, what can we expect to see you next in the short term?
Funny, I came from Toronto and I just booked something for a show, which is good. It's good because it's not that I'm doing better now, but I'm on a roll. I funny enough, I didn't tell you before I booked Men from Toronto. I booked this movie with Brad Pitt is going to be in it. It's Bullet Train, and I was going to play a doctor and. I was not able to do it because I came back on the 28th from Toronto and I was supposed to shoot on the 30th. But due to COVID restrictions, I couldn't just fly. And then even I said, but I'll do a test. I'll do two tests before. You know, they're like, no, with new COVID restrictions, I guess now you have to be here 14 days. Also, you can't be flying from overseas. So I lost that part. And I was sad, but at the same time, I was so happy that I got Men from Toronto. That was huge for me. It's an amazing part. So then I got another audition and I booked it. And I am a firm believer that when you're focused on something, then things happen. And before this, I had booked a couple, two, three other things. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, I started in my 30s, but I continued doing business and growing my family. My kids were young. So I was never really focused on the theatrical, on the movie, TV part of acting. I would do lots of commercials. And when somebody knew me, they would call me and I would do a project, a TV show or whatever, just because they knew me through my agent or whatever. But I never had an agent in 20-something years, 30. I never had a theatrical, a movie agent. Once I shot and produced my own movie, Contratista, then my publicist said, you should get an agent, you should get a manager. So
there's the question. Having been an actor and then becoming a producer, has this changed you as an actor?
Well, I guess everything changes you as an actor. I mean, if you have a child, it changes you as an actor. If you open a new company, if you have a breakup, everything changes you as an actor one way or another. What it does as a producer, then you see the other side. But I feel like I've always seen the other side since I used to do the promotions. So I was always on the other side as well. And as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, the production or of a film is a business. It is a business. So it's no different than me running, my real estate company, my clinic. But again, the basic principles are the same. You have to pay your people on time. You know, you have those things. So what I'm doing is I'm learning more about the industry itself. Mm-hmm. That's what an entrepreneur does. We're kind of crazy in a way, because you like something and then you jump in and start doing it without really knowing everything, and that's really tough because you make a lot of mistakes. And hey, once you learn it, then it's much, much, much better, you know. Otherwise, you never do things, you know. It's like, just start, you know, get started. Screw up a little, make some mistakes, and then, you know, things don't go better, if you can afford it. You know?
That's wonderful. Thank you, Alejandro. That was really great. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. And hopefully you'll see me in Men from Toronto soon.
You have a wonderful morning. I will have a wonderful evening.
Exactly. Go to bed soon.
And I wish you the very best for a good Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye now. Cheers.
Bye.
So there you have it. I hope you like what you heard. And if you fancy having some more no-spoiler interviews delivered to your favorite listening device, then please consider subscribing. In addition to these interviews, please check out our fortnightly No Spoiler Reviews podcasts, where we do movie news, in-depth requests / reviews, and also look at what's coming next in our trailer watch feature. So if that's your kind of thing and you don't like knowing the ending before you start, then I look forward to you joining us for even more interviews and movie reviews. Bye.